Welcome to JBJS OrthoCore. Listen as members of the ortho community, residents, surgeons, educators, staff, and patients share their stories about the experiences and people most important in their lives and the lessons they learned along the way. OrthoCore is an audio archive inspired by StoryCore and independently organized by the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
Well, thank you for joining me. We're going to get started. So if you don't mind just introducing yourself and giving us a little background of where you did your training and your career.
Sure. So Mark Swinkowski from the University of Minnesota. I grew up in Southern California. I'm a USC Medical School grad and did my residency at the University of Washington, including Harborview. And fell in love with trauma there. I never did a trauma fellowship. I did research in the AO lab in Davos for a year. So I actually did a research fellowship. So my hands-on training in trauma was during my residency.
So how did you get interested in orthopedic surgery and specifically orthopedic trauma?
Well, when I went to medical school, I was convinced I was going to be a pediatrician. And I really came with a bias that all surgeons were assholes, and then discovered that I was one. What I mean by that is that surgeons have the ability to make important decisions on way less than perfect information, to the point where they're willing to cut another human. And that is not very normal. It is the unusual people in your medical school class that have this gift or this curse, depending on how you wish to interpret it. So I did a surgery. I did a surgery rotation first and actually loved it. Loved the personality of the residents at the time at LA County Hospital and felt guilty about it. And then I did a pediatrics rotation. And then after 2 weeks of well baby exams, I was depressed and wanting to jump out a window. And then I rotated on orthopedics, and J. Paul Harvey was the chief, and I fell in love with it. Treating people in traction. We had a room full of 60 people with in femoral skeletal traction.
So when did you start treating them with surgery?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I went to Washington is that Paul Harvey, who was my advisor, along with Mike Patsakis, they said that, first of all, that you shouldn't do your residency where you did a medical school. You should use the opportunity to broaden your horizons. And Dr. Harvey said, boy, he called everybody boy, you should consider going up to the University of Washington. They got Hansen's up there, and he's doing some stuff with putting rods in and plates, and I'm not sure that it's the right thing to do, but they seem like they're pretty honest people. So get on up there. So, yes, sir, Dr. Harvey, that's what I'm going to do.
So you mentioned Dr. Harvey. Yeah. What other mentors influenced you, and what lessons did they teach you?
Well, Ted Hansen, the biggest influence, his basic approach to the simplicity of decision-making. And Bob Winquist. I was fortunate enough to be one of the residents that got to work with Bob before he left Harborview, and his very high caliber skills was just impressive. The attention to detail and positioning patients and getting the precise x-rays, and everything was just so smooth. So and it was Bob actually that suggested that I consider doing research in the AO lab, and helped kind of grease the skids. I'm slightly off task here, but I actually wrote a grant application for the Swiss National Science Foundation, which funded that year based on some experience I was having with laser Doppler flowmetry, measuring real time bone blood flow. So it was Ted and Bob Winquist.
What lessons has your work life taught you?
That we are in a privileged position, We're apart from clergy, we're the only profession where patients can really feel comfortable telling us their deepest concerns. The gift we have, which I alluded to earlier in the conversation, the ability to make decisions and actually be sure enough to cut another human, is unusual. We are not the normal people. We are the unusual ones. And we have to be very careful about that personality characteristic and skill set in other environments, like committee work or dealing with other physicians that don't have that same gift or curse, because it can get us into a lot of trouble, both professionally and in relationships. Because my wife asks me what I think about the color of a room or the light fixture. She's not asking for a decision, which is my inclination, because I make decisions. I'm a decision-making machine. So that insight took me a long time to figure out, and a lot of counseling. So
hopefully a lot of people will hear this.
I hope so, because it's important. We are the weird ones. We need to have some insight.
Yeah. Mm. What would you say you're proudest of?
Probably the people that I've had some impact in their training. That are doing outstanding things. I had a conversation with Ed Harvey that was extremely rewarding. He was a fellow, and I could list Dave T, Chip Rout, Mo Bhandari. Those people have achieved wonderful things, and maybe I had a slight influence on their careers.
It's more those than people. That, I'm sure. Do you have any regrets?
Oh, I regret that I didn't understand that I had the personality defect earlier on. You know, thankfully, my wife of now 51 years has been able to hang in there during the time when I was trying to understand that. So I wish, if I would have figured that out earlier on, it would have been better. Better work-life balance, for sure. So I think that's the main one. But I love what I do. I still, you know, I'm still fixing fractures and teaching residents, and it's great. I love watching people operate, giving them little tips and letting them take themselves right up to the time when they're going to screw something up and stopping them.
So tell me, how has your life been different than you imagined?
Well, I never thought I was going to be a physician. Neither one of my parents had a college education. So if somebody would have said when I was in high school, you're going to be a physician and a surgeon, I would have said there's no way. So yeah, I've been really, really blessed by people that have helped me along the way. Given me opportunities.
That's amazing.
I thought I was going to be a geologist.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there any funny stories or characters from your career that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, a lot of characters. One character is a fellow, Dave Brokaw, from Indiana. One of the funniest people I've ever run into. And so I had a clinic where the fellows were in the clinic alongside. They were seeing their own panel of patients, and I was seeing mine. And I was seeing a woman with an atrophic non-union of the humerus. And Annie, who was a wonderful nurse at Harborview for a long time, asked me, "What's wrong with that lady? I mean, that bone just doesn't look... it just doesn't look right." I explained, well, you know, she's got an eating disorder, and she doesn't have any real nutrition, and she's not going to heal that. You know, she weighs like 80 pounds and has a real issue. And Brokaw was over in the corner. And those of you that know Dave, he's a big man. And he puts down the dictation phone and he looks up and he said, you know, people really don't understand the effect of an eating disorder. It took me years and years to get over it. And I just bust out laughing. I just think of that. He was deadpan serious. And David Brokaw is just one character of me. And Chip Routs, the ultimate character with his interest in many things that are different than my background. He taught my boys gun safety, and Chip's he's one of the ultimate characters. I could talk for hours on characters.
All right. Is there a specific orthopedic device or procedure or research innovation that you have a connection with that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I spent the majority of my career investigating femoral neck fractures, and still have an interest. It's gone all the way from biomechanics to microcirculation in animal models to the impact of intracapsular pressure to on and on and on. And so I feel like there have been some contributions, and it pleases me when I hear that people emphasize that what matters most in fixing those is the reduction, because there's no doubt about that. It's not the device, it's the quality of the reduction. And I've long advocated open reduction. There's still generalized hesitancy to do that across the board. Never been able to impact that very much, but I feel like for femoral neck fractures, I've had some impact.
All right, last question. For generations listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you would want to pass on, or what would you want them to know?
For those of individuals who are listening who are surgeons, I would encourage them to pay attention to what I said about understanding that you're the different one, and really gaining some insight as to when it's appropriate to apply that skill and when to understand it's a curse, because it will save you a lot of grief outside of the operating room.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.